We start our podcast with a subject dedicated to women. What a woman should know as she enters an intimate relationship with a man that she falls in love with. Stay tuned to hear some interesting advice. There were times when the woman was more than a simple human being. She was the embodiment of fecundity, earth, nature, and life. She was identified with the goddesses that governed the different aspects of life, and thus she was considered sacred. You'll find out more about this subject in our podcast with the title, A Woman's Spiritual Sense of Life. Afterwards, we shall elaborate some more on Matangi, the goddess of the divine order. We shall also perform a meditation of communion with Matangi towards the end. Stay tuned, together with our yogi host, Amaris.
Welcome to Tantra FM, a step into bliss. I'm your host, Amaris.
First sight. Do you know how to get acquainted with his penis? Try not to laugh, regardless of its appearance. And most importantly, be gentle. Each man has an enormous penis. This is a scientifically proven fact. If you do not believe this, begin your own survey. You will soon discover that each of them will praise his treasure. Moreover, they give names to their penises. It is either Ninja Fighter or Fearless Hunter, or even, in some cases, however, it is big. It is huge. There are a few men who do not have the size complex. They become almost paranoid when discussing the subject. Consequently, any man feels terribly embarrassed when he has to introduce his manhood to you, the very symbol of his self-esteem. And it is not an easy task to make a man talk to you about this subject. It is even more challenging to have him relaxed and at ease while approaching this topic. Keep in mind that your first encounter with his ammunition is a critical moment. Find out the best way to approach it, and he will be yours. Golden rule. Pretend, if in fact you are not, that you are in awe. Do not giggle. Do not point your finger at it. Do not poke it. Instead, be passionate and eager. He will relax if he sees that he does not have to face a capricious libido. Take my word for it. It is enough to sketch as much as a smile, and you may kiss lovemaking goodbye or goodnight. After all, would you stand having next to you a man who bursts out laughing at the sight of your cellulite? Diana is 35 and has acquired a great deal of sexual experience. In time, she has learned that the first contact between penis and female lover is crucial for the man. Quote, "It is pointless to engage in conversation at that moment," she says. "Once I was dating this terribly shy guy. One night, I just took over. I started kissing him and I slipped my hand inside his pants. From that moment on, he became my all-time slave. It felt as if I had saved him from drowning." End quote. Of course, things are not always as easy. There are some situations that may make him look ridiculous. For instance, we all know how a penis reacts to the cold. Roy, a 24-year-old production assistant, had an awful experience, for example. A romantic weekend at a chalet in the mountains. After a night of passionate lovemaking, in which his new lover praises his performance, he goes to the bathroom to take a shower. The surprise was most unpleasant. No hot water was running. He took a cold shower. When returning to the room, his girlfriend burst out laughing, saying, "Good God, I didn't realize it was that small." This was the end of the weekend, and of the relationship as well, because, in Roy's own words, I literally felt castrated. I have a great sense of humor, but this attack was way too direct. I believe any man would have felt humiliated. Maggie, freelancer, 25, tells how she ended up in bed with a man she just met. After he took off his clothes, I noticed that his penis was short and thick. I didn't like its appearance, but also didn't know how to tell him that I didn't want to have sex with him because of the form of his penis. I kept my mouth shut for the first time, and definitely for the last time. To cut a long story short, don't let him think of forms or sizes, and you will be the eternal beneficiary of his gratitude. Danny, 22, college student, confesses, I know the shape and size of my penis are not normal, therefore, I've never made love with the lights on. I try to make my girlfriends talk to me about it, tell me their opinion, but they just wouldn't. None of them realized I simply needed some encouragement. Danny's present girlfriend is studying psychology, and she realized his needs. She discusses things openly, and their relationship is going better and better. I'm a different man in bed, Danny confesses. I'm bolder and more confident. And I also trust it more.
The woman's spiritual sense of life. A wrong point of view. There is a certain way of looking at the world, accepted by both men and women. There are women who want to be independent, but then they're scared of not belonging to anyone. An unmarried woman feels like she's to be felt sorry for, while an unmarried man is to be envied. The woman wants to build her fate with her own hands. But there are lots of women who, if they fail, say, I'm only a woman. Generally, there aren't many young men who make an ideal out of the I'm getting married idea. But there are still many women who do, turning their marriage into a career. The woman who has to stay home with her children is often identified with the idea of weakness, and she's considered a passive human being that needs protection, physical and also moral, social, and legal. Many people still have the tendency to despise an intelligent, cultivated, active woman because she doesn't fit the feminine stereotype they know. Just like they tend to despise a sensitive and gentle man because he doesn't fit their own idea of virility. In contemporary society, men who succeed are virile, which means ambitious, aggressive, without scruples, money, and glory chasing. At the same time, modest, generous, and sensitive men are considered effeminate. For many men, still, the woman who flatters his ego should be very beautiful, elegant, a good mother, a faithful wife, and also a passive, ignorant, and capricious woman. You'll hear very often the idea that femininity is the same with passivity, weakness, stupidity, and immorality. The woman's dream. Women learn to accept their description completely because of their education and society. The scorn towards women is still alive in both sexes. There are many women who do not accept themselves as women, being convinced that being a man is the real gift from God. Menstruation, birth, menopause, they all have created the prejudice that a woman is someone who depends on nature and on her own body. And that's why she cannot reach the levels of intelligence, creativity, and spirituality that a man can. In order to fit the new image of femininity, a lot of women waste their spare time reading worthless magazines, chasing the dress that will be out of fashion anyway only a few months later, being concerned too much about their hair, and in general, creating an existence filled with frivolous patterns. Thus, they waste the time they could have used in knowing themselves, and this stops them from thinking about the purpose of their lives. Nowadays, women, who were underestimated century after century, make the big mistake of wishing to have man's superiority, considering it as true freedom and personal achievement. The woman dreams to replace the man, to become an Amazon. This does not solve the problem, but only reverses the roles. Though there are biological differences between men and women that make them behave differently in certain conditions, these differences are too small in comparison to what men and women have in common as humans. Setting the woman free of all prejudices is not an act that depends only on women. It depends on the entire world. Humanity's outlook about woman is an expression of its level of consciousness. Woman's greatness leads the world to God. Most women do not know their possibilities. Many have been left out in ignorance, and others have given up their studies because they had a baby, while many others don't even have a professional background. How is it possible for a woman to become independent and to have a creative activity when her soul and mind are not treated the right way, are not cultivated? The problem for a woman is to know how to resist society's conceptions about women and how to open up to her real mission, which is a spiritual one. There were times when the woman was more than a simple human being. She was the embodiment of fecundity, earth, nature, and life. She was identified with the goddesses that governed the different aspects of life, and thus she was considered sacred. The woman was worshipped in certain periods of time. She was a goddess or a priestess, like the Vestals or the Hetairae. Or she was a muse. She was the embodiment of beauty, grace, gentility, and kindness. She was the mother, the wife, the lover, the one who leads man to God. She embodied the absolute and had the mission of orienting the world to the ultimate supreme reality. The spirit of the universe comes to meet the man because of the woman. The woman's greatness is that of leading the world to God. She holds the world's possibility of reaching the divine light through life's profound spiritualization and also of destroying it by amplifying its inferior tendencies. The woman always rises or falls because there is no other option for her. The woman's spiritual sense of life. Awakening the feminine qualities is the way she gives life to herself. She cannot find fulfillment outside of her being, except by accepting herself completely and consciously. Acceptance means not only becoming aware of herself as being a woman, physiologically speaking, but also becoming conscious of her feminine qualities and of her role in this world. Her spiritual sense of life is that of turning people's limited vision towards the essence of the world through the wonderful manifestation of her feminine. The woman has the principle of creating the universe in her. This principle makes everything move. Nowadays, women are a lot more open to spirituality than men are, but they are not aware of their power and force that can change and awaken the entire world. They remain weak and passive, lost in small and important things, accepting everything without even thinking of making a difference. And that's because they don't know they can live in another way. It's time for the woman to learn to know herself better, to remind herself of the light in her soul, to accept it and to see it in others as well. It's time for her to show the man the path to the light through her shining way of being, and both of them together, enriched through love and union, can rise towards the land of immortality. She reveals the sacred mystery of initiative art. In the Indian spiritual tradition, Matangi is closely connected to Saraswati, the goddess of wisdom and the consort of the great god Brahma, creator of the macrocosmos, from the Hindu trinity, Trimurti. Just like Saraswati, Matangi is represented playing a Hindu sacred instrument, the Veena, that symbolizes the fact that she also rules and influences the domain of music and audible sound, not only that of the uttered word. That is why Matangi is sometimes represented as the manifested form of songs and tunes. She symbolized, just as Saraswati is, by the stormy clouds and their lightnings, and also by the rivers that flow into the sea and the ocean. Matangi represents the vibratory resonance or nada of the subtle sound that manifests at different levels of subtlety in the whole subtle structure of nadis in our being. Nevertheless, there are differences between these two great goddesses. Thus, Matangi is that form of Saraswati that amplifies inner knowledge. In other words, she is the mystical, occult, and ecstatic form of Saraswati, while Saraswati herself is known especially as the goddess of common knowledge of art and culture. By contrast, Matangi governs the mysterious and extraordinary domain of divine knowledge, a knowledge that leads us beyond the limits of conventionalism. We can assert that Matangi actually is the face of Saraswati that is linked with the transformation energy, the energy of the great cosmic power Kali. She supports the ones that spread true knowledge. Matangi expresses herself in her highest forms through the Guru, who offers his knowledge to his disciples by the means of the uttered word. Thus, we can assert that Matangi represents the teachings of the Guru and the spiritual tradition that he embodies. At a more general level, Matangi represents the continuity of the spiritual traditions in the world, animated and made known in time by branches of the great spiritual masters. That is why to worship Matangi means, to a certain degree, to worship the Guru. Those who teach others, and especially those who spread spiritual knowledge to many people, are blessed in a special way and helped by the divine grace of Matangi, if they act justly and are divinely integrated in those situations. She helps you succeed in any good action. Etymologically, Mata also means wild or passionate. Consequently, Matangi is the one who is agile and passionate in the movements of her body. In Sanskrit, Matangi also means a female elephant. Hindu mythology, the elephant is the main symbol of the god Ganesha, the firstborn from the love between the goddess Parvati and the great god Shiva. Ganesha is also known as the god with the elephant head. One of his characteristics is that he is the master of the uttered word and of knowledge, assuring the success and victory in debates or any other actions related to the material world. Thus, he's adored as the one who removes the obstacles from any of our actions. For example, in India, it is almost compulsory to worship Ganesha before any teaching process, especially if it has a spiritual nature, and before important conventional activities like marriages, travels, or business meetings. Thanks to this resonance between Matangi and Ganesha, the great goddess is worshipped as the consort of Ganesha at a certain level. Generally speaking, the two consorts of Ganesha are Buddhi, the sparkling intelligence, and Siddhi, the success and effective fulfillment of wishes. Matangi is endowed with the same powers. That is why she is sometimes invoked both for removing the obstacles from an action and for succeeding in it, as well as for gaining a deeper knowledge of the essential truths of creation. She reveals what is beyond words. Another aspect of Matangi is that she's present in any impurity. At a certain level, this characteristic can be explained by the nature of the uttered word itself, in that it is inherently limited in what it can express. This impurity can be eliminated only when perceiving the real power and subtle influence of Matangi, which is indeed beyond the wall of the uttered word. If we're truly objective, the uttered word makes things somehow profane, just as naming an object, for example, generates a relatively wrong comprehension of that object, and thus a kind of depreciation of it. That is why numbers, descriptions, explanations, and so forth become true obstacles in our elevated perception of the real nature of the world around us. Matangi represents the great cosmic power that rules this level of manifestation and offers the possibility to use it correctly and to pass beyond its gregarious significance. Let us perform a meditation with the following theme: communion with the great cosmic force of universal order, Matangi. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we're meditating upon, we shall use proper musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight, or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana, or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck, and your head are in an upward position, and they form a straight line. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you're bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you are eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb you right now. Now we're ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect: communion with the great cosmic force of universal order, Matangi. Let us begin.
Well, that concludes another show. Goodbye from all of us at Tantra FM.